Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, people? Shemancy Major. Got a great show planned for you today. We got a special guest. Got my co-host, Copia Jackson, coming in. We got The Clique coming in. The Clique is a group of individuals where we talk about certain things, whether it be politics, hip-hop, whatever. We're going to have a good show. So we got now radio. Let's go.
I told you. I'm a mogul.
Heads up, here we come, y'all, live in effect. Mic check, keep your ears moving right to the deck. This is true hip-hop, old school flip-flops. With a new school twist, just admit it's hot. To the clock, tick-tock, and you don't stop. Down in the street, taking over the whole block. Lock to the boys, we need to make more room. Move, get out the way, cause we about to kick in the door. Report new music, movies, awards, too. You've never seen nothing like this, I assure you. Sorting through, separating facts from fiction. Who's who? What was it that of this? We're going backstage and you ain't getting text admissions. Better switch gears, this here's a fast addiction. Listen, process is turn to progress. We got an app, we don't care who got next.
Yes, people, we are back for another week. It's your man, C. Major, Miss Jackson. Are
hey,
you
C.
there?
Mage, what's going on?
What's going on, kid? How are you?
Good. I'm ready for this show. I hear we got Nina B here, so I mean.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a real good time. Let's see. You know, we got to get the news out the way, what's going on with us and the site and all that. I'm going to keep plugging. Y'all know we got the Velocity Magazine Awards coming up. You know, we've been nominated for our best radio show, so that's, you know, that's something that we're going to keep plugging. The website is doing extremely, extremely well, so I'm proud of that. But another thing that I don't even, my co-hosts don't even know yet. So this is something I've kind of been in talk. You don't know this yet. I've been in talks with a few people. A few people have reached out to me, and they're really interested in what we're doing here. They really feel we have a great movement going on. And the thing what they were telling me is they want more. And initially it's something that, you know, I wasn't willing to do because there was a lot of things going on, but with the We Got More thing, or We Got Now, I felt it was a great opportunity for me to step up and do what we got to do. So starting on, let me make sure I get this right because I don't want to mess this up. Starting on the 22nd of September, we will be airing and we'll have different calls as well. We got a whole game plan going on, but we will be airing Monday through Thursday. So it will just not be a Wednesday thing. It'll be Monday through Thursday. We're going to talk about all the issues you guys want to talk about, and we're going to make sure we get it in. So you don't even know that yet, and we're going to discuss it yet. So I just put something on everybody. This is what I do.
Are you working as Nasty Major? I mean,
I do this.
No cuts.
Look, I do this. I don't talk this mogul. Hey, I don't talk this mogul shit just because. You know what I mean? I do this. But we definitely have a very, very, very special guest today. I had actually an opportunity to see her perform at the Million DJ March. That's one thing that actually
was
here in Washington, D.C. Right. And it really intrigued me. I've actually heard about her before because, you know, I'm big. I know about everybody. Anybody who anybody's in the hip-hop industry, whether you're new, old, whatever. And I'm going to get into the story once I get on the line. But we're going to get into that a little further. But without further ado, Miss Nina B, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What up, man? I'm chilling. I'm happy to be here on the phone with y'all. What's going on?
What's going on, Nina?
Well, I just left the gym. My whole body aches. Honestly.
Oh, wow. So you
guys know
fitness.
I'm training for the marathon. I'm training to run the New York City Marathon. And
oh,
I don't
okay.
know. I got myself into something right now. So I'm feeling it.
Oh, you saw the Diddy thing on TV. You was like, I could do that too.
Nah, I live in Brooklyn and I see it run by my building every year. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm
right.
getting that drink 1 year. And I quit smoking like 8 months ago. So, you know, it's the best time to do it. I might not be here next year to do it.
And see, that's good because that was a trick. You put down the cigarettes. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to put them drinks down. No good. No good. If you want to be an entertainer, you can't entertain. You can't. I don't know about everybody else, but me, I can't do it.
Exactly.
I had to make a choice.
Nah, that's an excellent point. You know what? Just to kind of piggyback on what you just said, if you've noticed, a lot of the people who are the true celebrities that we consider the bigger, the higher ups in the celebrity business, a lot of them don't drink or smoke.
Yeah.
It's really because they're on their grind, and it's a whole different type of high. Being on the stage is like their type of high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a whole different.
And once you let go of some of those crutches, you can be much more successful. For real. Lack of focus, but everything is better right now.
No, that's what's up.
You hear a lot of grumbling and rumbling. I'm in the streets. I didn't
want to
miss this call for the world, so I was like, I'm getting on the phone right now.
I appreciate that. She's up in NY to the finish up. Y'all don't know, so y'all getting the full action of NY on the phone.
You hear that? I'm on 161st Grand Concourse right now. Well, let y'all know.
If y'all never been to NY before, I'm telling you, it is really real, so, you know. What I wanted to talk about, though, we're going to definitely get into the projects you have working that you're working on and everything like that. But one thing I did want to say, the reason why I really was intrigued about this and really wanted to make sure I secured this interview was this. I was at the Million DJ March.
Uh-huh.
And I actually was watching the performances, and for some strange reason, it had died down a little bit.
Yeah, it died down.
Right. You know,
it was starting to get a little hectic. Like it was trying to get at the DJ. It started to get ghetto for a second. Like, oh, where's my phone? I was like, oh,
right.
God.
Exactly. And one thing I want to comment on, and the reason why, you were extremely professional, number one. And number two was, I saw you bring the crowd to you, meaning you did, I don't know if it was a freestyle, I don't know what it was, but you were able to engage a crowd who was becoming very hostile and everything else.
Yes, it was getting crazy. Like, that's the whole thing. I learned that because, like, in New York and a lot of these venues that I went into coming up, the underground scene, basically,
is
performing for artists, other artists, and that's, like, the toughest crowd because they artists, they got their opinions, they feel hot, they don't really want to hear you, but you're really performing for each other. You're like, I hate performing, no offense, I hate performing for my peers when it comes to that. So I'm like, yo, I came all the way out to D.C. We really drove out there. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, I'm missing the Labor Day parade. I'm going to put y'all on that stage, and I'm going to do what I got to do because that's what I came out here to do. So I was just ready to get it. And I just felt like if I had a lot of other people who came up from New York, then I know, too. And I just wanted to set the tone for them, too. Like, yo, we here. Like, you know what I mean? We all in here. Like, I know they felt it, too, because we were talking before this. They're like, yo, look at this. This is crazy. It's a bunch of people from this state. And they're all artists. It's not going to be easy to please them, you feel me? So, I kind of like, and even when I was performing, I was like shouting out the people that I knew that was coming up next, like, oh, yeah, my boy S.O., my boy this, da-da-da-da, like, yeah, we here, da-da-da, because I want people to, like, feel comfortable with us. Like, a lot of times, it's like, in another state, it's hard to get that love when you're from New York, particularly.
Right,
it is.
Right.
Especially
right,
in something like this.
Right. I try to get their attention as serious as I am, because sometimes I know that, like, when people see how I really much I care about what I'm doing, they'll give me more attention and they'll be more like, give me, trying to actually respect what I'm doing. Right. In all honesty, that's like I said, I think you did an excellent job of that, especially in not being your hometown, which is even harder because you don't have that fan base to be like, y'all shut up, my girls are on or whatever, you know what I'm saying, you don't have that. Yeah, so I wanted to definitely commend you on that.
And my DJ Incredibles, he, I got up on him after the show too, he's a great guy, and he was there, and I seen that was getting crazy for him. I'm like, nah, that's not what it's about, this is the Million DJ March, you gonna respect the DJ, feel me? Exactly. So I'm like, let me try to get this thing away from that right now, and I just want everything to go good. I want to try to change the whole tune of things right there. I think it came off good, I'm glad you guys have fun.
No, definitely. One thing, and caller, I see you there, we're gonna get to you, but before I get into that, I want to kind of get into your bio a little bit. First of all, little things, like you wrote your first rhyme at 6. Is that correct?
I think he was exaggerating. I didn't even write.
Okay.
I couldn't write. I wasn't writing. I was just rhyming. My mom was like, yo, my name is, and I'm here to say.
Right. So you
like,
had a nursery rhyme.
I had my play school jump off. You know, the play school, you need to have the tape in it. And I would go in. I would go in any tape I found around the house, whoever, FV, Rakim, Run DMC, old tape. I rolled it back up as it was hanging out, the little string was hanging out, I would roll it back up and I'll put it in there, you know what I'm saying? And I just go in. And I had, like, you know, you remember, is this Snuffy, Snuffleupagus? I don't know, there was a bear, Teddy Ruxpin, matter of fact. I used to put rat paste in that, you know what I mean? And I used to go in it. I put rat paste in my Teddy Ruxpin and we would just get it bothered. That was my best friend.
But do you think you got most of your confidence, though, when you were young, from rapping when you were young? Do you think you got most of your confidence?
No, because nobody wanted to hear me rapping when I was, my mother was not feeling that. She was in about seeing her daughter rapping. She wanted me to be, like, something more along the lines of government affiliated. Like, my mother wanted me to have a good government job. That's what she always told me. Like, we could get you, especially when she saw that I wasn't really taken towards school and I was leaning towards the streets and every other thing. She's like, go sign up for this and just secure your future. I'm like, yo, this is my future. It's my life right now, man.
Yeah, because you said that you didn't have an easy upbringing. You did say that.
I hate to bring it up. Still be mad at me, but it is what it is. And I mean, she had a problem struggling with drug addiction. So I just did my own thing for the most part. And music, that was my friend. I was saying that nobody can't take me. Something like my education, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
nobody can take this from me. But I was saying I did. And it took me a while to actually build up the confidence where I could be able to come and show people, like, yo, this is what I got. Yo, it's hot. Trust me. Like, it took me a while. I had to feel like that inside of myself before I even bring it to somebody.
But you built it pretty fast because based on, you know, you got an opportunity for a deal at 16. So, I mean, you know, most people don't get those type of opportunities.
To me, I think that was like looking back, I know that, like, some people get lucky and they jump on that opportunity. But for me, I was on some cocky stuff. Like, when I was 16, I was more cocky. I was like, yo, this ain't for me. I need to write. They wanted to write my material. They had like 3 albums already done. I'm like, listen, I need to write my own material. I need y'all to respect that. That wasn't the case. So you went out several ways. And I didn't regret it. I actually thought it would come so much easier. I'm like, oh, yeah, one just came up to get another deal tomorrow. Who knows, right?
Right.
That wasn't necessarily the case. And I'm tell you the truth, I was not putting that work in. I wasn't out there making demos myself. I wasn't taking my money when I was 16 years old to get fresh money to go to the studio. I was just writing rhymes. That was more of a hobby for me. So when I started taking it seriously, everybody else started taking it more seriously. And I started to notice that, like, oh, I do it myself and for anybody to really respect what I'm doing. Because I ain't doing it or they don't see anything materializing on my own, I was never going to get that back in. I just bumped into Amber Lab another one day, and we just started doing our thing.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, what made you sign for them? I mean, because, like you said, you had other opportunities, but for some reason, this person drew you in, you know, Ravenel Records, Amber.
I quit. I got discouraged real fast. I was like, oh, nothing's popping off for me. I'm getting old, 18. I'm about to be 18. I was like, I'm getting old. Ain't nothing popping off for me. I quit. I can't do this right now. I'm like, I'm going back to school. I went to college. I'll finish school. I went to college. I started to study fashion design. I was like, yo, I'm good. Let me kind of I can't. If anything, I thought that would be a gateway for me to do what I was doing. And I put the pen down for like 2 months. I couldn't stop. Although I got right back on my book. Every book I had, every class I was writing in it. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, I can't stop. So whatever, I just kept doing it. It became more hobby that I just couldn't let go. I realized it's something I needed to do. And then I started going to this program, that Hip Hop Project thing. They put out a movie with Russell Simmons. It was great. It was a great program. I can never take nothing away from that. It was a great program. I met Amber over there. She was teaching a class there. She was that smart. I'm looking at her, I'm like, yo, you my age. And everybody respects you. That's crazy. Like, how are you going to be 19 years old teaching a class of 19-year-olds? You know? Like, who? Like, I thought I was gangster. I was like, okay, I like that. Yo, that's crazy. So I figured, I was really feeling her movement. She had her stuff together. She started her leg when she was 16. I was like, damn, yo, we had a lot in common. Like, just that passion. Like, for music so young. Like, I mean, some people might throw you as hard-headed, but that's what we wanted to do.
And then she saw the star in you, really, because, I mean, everybody knew that you were a star, but she
kind of brought it out. Nobody wasn't messing with me. Well, I went to Cali for a little while. I said, oh, but you don't want to Cali, she's like, yo, call this person, call that person, get up with this person. I was like, oh, what? You know, niggas in Cali, that's crazy, because right now, that's the other side of the world to me. That was my first time really traveling out of New York by myself. So I'm like, damn, she get around like that? I'm like, yo, I'm going to get up with her when I get back. When I came back, I was like, yo, I need to get things popping. I was like 18 or 19, and I just decided to rock with Ravenel. And then, like, I was like, I asked for a management situation. I ain't going for it. But then, like, we just became a family. Like, now we partners.
But you had stuff going on, though, even, like, when you were working on your music, because I heard that you were on America's Next Top Model.
I was not. I was, you know, I got tricked. I'm a rapper. I got tricked. I was real extra thin at the time, and I used to love American Top Model. That was our favorite show. We used to watch that every week since I was 9. We loved that show. It was like football to us. We would not stop. Like, it was, we would screw to the TV when it came on. So my friend, she was also one of the fans we would always watch together. She tried to trick me, but I'm too smart for that. So I'm like, yo, what's really going on? She's like, yo, I want you to, she tried to trick me. How's you going to trick somebody to go out, stand outside all night? I'm like, what's really talking about bringing a bag? I'm like, I bring it up. What are you talking about? So she came clean. She's like, yo, I just want you to go. I think you can make it. Da, 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 da. I'm all for it. Like, you believe in me? That'll help me out, because I always believe in myself. I'm like, all right, we can maybe do that. Let's try it. Fuck it. I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? So we went out there. We stood out there all night long. Like, really, like, for real. We stood out there all night long. By the time I got there, I had the illest attitude. I was like, yo, we's out here all night long. They had to say da, da, da. I was like, whatever. I was being myself. I was like, I was going to go in there and be Miss Makeup. But then I was on some, I was like, man, I'm tight. So when they went in for the interview, finally, after like 8 days, when it felt like to me, I was tight. So I was giving them everything I had. I was like, nah, man, there's nothing out here for mad long. So they was like, I just knew they wasn't going to call me. I'm like, these things going to call me. I looked through my phone, I'm like, yo, they ain't calling me back. I'm like, I'm just, what's that, man, whatever. That was tight. She's like, Nina, here you go. I'm like,
that
whatever. Then, you know what happened? We had a blackout in New York. It was crazy. It was dark and everything. I was outside wailing out with flashlight. And then the lights came on the next day. I got a call from them. They're like, oh, we want you to come down. I'm like, oh, they must be drunk. All right, whatever. It was blackout. Everything was dark. So I just found my way to an airport, Boston or something like that. And I was like, I'm going to go. I just went. That's not here. But like, yo, going out here. She's like, yo, hit this person, hit that person. I'm like, all right, bet. Funny thing is, you know, when you go to these shows, you can't talk to nobody. You're not allowed to. I'm like, I knew that kind of, but this was my first real trip. I was calling everybody. I was in Hollywood. I was on the strip. I'm like, yo, that can't hold me. I'm sorry. That's what it is. I'm going to be out here. So I don't know. All that affected everything because those are things that you weren't allowed to do, and I was all doing them. So I think that also played a part in why I was selected. And everybody else in there, that's what they wanted to do. So I was never mad.
That wasn't your passion.
Yeah, but that was really mad.
For those of you who don't know, we're on the line with Nina B. Make sure y'all hit us up, 646-200-4965. We are getting it in. We're dealing with America's Next Top Hip Hop Star. That's what we're going to call it. We're getting it in for real right now.
Hip Hop All Way.
We're getting it in. But one thing I wanted to talk about, too, and this is real talk, your internet buzz is crazy. And I was watching the YouTube videos.
Gotta have an angle, you know what I'm saying? Gotta have an angle. So I linked up with this guy. He's the dopest guy in the world. His name's Scenario. He's responsible for all that. He was doing those remix videos when I was at home watching him on BCAT. Like, oh, whatever. And I never knew I would meet this guy. But we met him. I linked up to him through Amber. He was so super cool. Like, I still rock with him. He does everything for me. He's like, he's a member of the family right now. So Scenario, he had this great concept, like, yo, I'm going to start, same thing these rappers do with the songs, I'm going to visually do it, because I can. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we linked out. The first one we did was that Change Clothes. We did that. We did Change Clothes.
Okay.
We was like, yo, that was my first video shoot. We went all out, everything. I didn't have no money. I had to pick up a little G real fast just to get right. It was crazy, like, whatever, but I was excited. It was my first video. We had fun, we did it. We got great feedback. I met Ralph McDaniels, he plays on his show, Video Music Box. It's another show I grew up watching. When you start getting those stuff, like the radio and the TV and stuff that you actually could connect with, like I grew up watching these shows. Like it was getting crazy for me. I started to feel more and more like, yeah, I could do this for myself. F everybody, whatever. I mean, because when you first get in, like, your dream is to be with a major. Like, you're like, yeah, I want to be major, I want to get signed and get the gold chain and whatever, whatever.
Right,
now it's a little more realistic to me that I make more money myself and I can control my money. I control my content. Like, however I want to do it, that's how I'm going to do it. Nobody can't tell me nothing. So I'm comfortable with it. That's another reason why I like rapping. Because she's cool. She has her opinions, but I got freedom.
Right. She's the CEO of your label and you both are female. Does that make it tougher? Because, you know, sometimes people say you got to have that man backing you and that whole thing. Especially in the entertainment industry.
Well, we so young. Because we came in together, we was like 19 apiece.
Right.
Everybody was looking at us like, oh, that's so cute. I'm like, we're not cute. We want this is our life. We in here. Like, no, it's not cute. We want to, like, respect us. Like, it was hard for us to get acknowledged as more than just, oh, that's so cute. Oh, she rapped her little heart out. It's so cute. Like, no, it's not cute. Oh, this, like, niggas respect me. This is what it is. Like, she's a serious businesswoman. She's a marketing genius. Respect that. And I do what I do. Like, no, it's not cute. Like, that dropped me crazy. How people always be like, oh, this is so cute. They see us in front of the station, a radio station, freezing all night waiting for DJs. Like, oh, that's so cute. No, it's not cute. Respect us. What's going on? So that's the only
reason. What was the point?
The point
where it was like, okay,
it's not cute no more. They respect my hustle. I think I had to earn that, man. I had to start going. I by now I've performed at every venue in my city. And then I was everywhere else that I could have been. Just if I could afford it or if I couldn't afford it, I made it happen. We just made it happen. Whatever was popping, we went there, and that's what it was. And then we started building relationships by being everywhere and just socializing and networking. That's a lot what it's about. And via the internet, which is good. I love it and I hate it. It's good. I started to generate buzz off for the internet, buzz off for being in the streets. I sat outside in front of a Virgin Records store, and I just sold mad CDs. Because that's the only way I could get money legally. So I'm like, yo, this is what I got to do.
Right.
Like, we got to make money so we can spend money. So this is what we got to do. So we just started, like, you got to respect that. How can you not? When you see me out there, you have to, like, certain things we did, you just have to respect it. Like, I'm like, it's so cute, but to a point when he's out there every night, rain, sleet, or snow, then you start respecting it. And then, like, the DJ K-Slay, that's my dude. He's DJ used to have me up in a real legit station, like, Highlane Stiff, some other station I was listening to. So that, like, you know, like, sometimes it's like when you get a boyfriend, then everybody wants your man. Like, or everybody wants your man.
You.
I'm like, oh, wait a minute. It was like that. Like, now one person is messing with me. That made it more than all the dudes to be like, oh, it's okay to mess with her. There was a short. So everything started to feed off of that. That was a great look for me. And I just started building, like, networks and relationships with people. And just thought, man, cool. I'm genuinely a good person.
That's what I want our listeners to really pay attention because she really gave some excellent advice there on the slide tip. You have to get out in your city, wherever you at, and grind. It ain't going to come to you for free.
You're
not
going to come.
Yeah, that's so true.
You
got to network, talk to people.
You have to get out there. You don't have to hype
your skirt up to do it either. You just go out there.
Right.
If you just go out there, you should be on our pants. Looking mad at her, like, that's why everybody's like, oh, look at them, it's so cute.
Right.
And, like, you gotta keep going, like, it's not cute, this is what we do, like, respect it. And anybody who really has a passion for anything, they're gonna respect it, they're gonna, on some level, they can be like.
Right, because you have parlayed your buzz in your city to not only an internet buzz, but you were on Rap City 4 times?
I'm on Rap City a lot of times, I don't even know how many times. But I ain't been on the couch yet. I'm trying to get on the couch. So
That other level, right?
Yeah, they just had me on the couch. But I do get a lot of love from Rap City. I love Rap City. But that's another, like, nobody can take that away. That's another thing. It just feels so good. Like little things like that, that's what really keep me going, keep me pushing forward. Like, little things like that.
That's another tip she gave y'all on the fly. Never settle. Because she did the Rap City thing, but the Rap City thing was cool, but it's about some other level stuff. It's called Dreaming Big. That's my little tip for the day, y'all. Get your mind right. But also, like, your mixtape game is crazy. You got the Madonna joint out now, right? That's the...
Yeah, that's not the last mixtape I put out. That was 1, 2, 3, 4. That was the 6th mixtape. I just put out another one with Serious Radio, and this one is dope. It's called the Real Rap Supreme. And what happened was, I was supposed to be on that show. So I ain't go on the show. So I had to, you know, clear that air. Like, a lot of people were coming to me, and they were like, why weren't you on that show? You're supposed to be, like, oh, so popping. Why weren't they, like, trying to, like, be tedious with me, you feel me? So I was like, I had to adjust that one time. I'm not with that. I don't know. Can't have everybody coming to me as needed. So if they just got rid of them there, like, oh, you need to go pop that, and then that's the whole story right there. I don't want to talk about it. But really, I had to address that because being or feeling like I did deserve to be acknowledged as one of the hottest females in the game, period, I felt like I had to make that mixtape, man. And then we did that. So that was the last product I put out. And I was like, a month ago. And I'm working on a new joint right now. And this one's crazy. But I'm basically.
For people who the real Nina B is? I mean.
No. Nobody don't know who the real Nina B is. I'm trying to get there, man. I'm trying to get there.
I think you made, to me personally, just in all honesty, I think you made a great decision not going on that show.
Yeah.
First of all, it's extremely corny to me. I'm being real with you. I'm being honest with you. Like, I think
the quality of rapper you are,
it's not worth it.
Yeah, I'm not mad at all. I think it was a good opportunity for those who had it. But I still think that the people who was on it, they didn't even freak like I would have freaked it. I went, like, I have a concert, I have a distribution with Koch. I'm putting out an album later on this year. I would have put my album out while I was on the show. You feel me?
Right.
Just so
exactly.
My thing could be buzzing. I would put out 3 mixtapes. Just,
exactly.
I would have really went in, like, I don't know what these people be doing. That's why I was like, meh, whatever. I was like, okay, I'm still going to capitalize off of this anyway. How about that? That's the rap supreme mixtape. It is what it is. But, you know, I just have to be, I try to be a step ahead of them. They try to trick me. So, that's what that was about.
Speaking on, like, the internet stuff, like, cause, you know, internet, I always tell people all the time, it's a good and a bad thing. And with that, I read your comments. Most of them, I would say 90% of them, 90, 80% of them are good. They're like, yo, she's
dope. No, they are bad.
Some are, like, aggressive, like what they would do to you if they saw you in the street type, like you do, like, you know what I'm saying?
I like to call that, like, you ever see these guys, they call internet haters, and they have, like, they make fun of the people that actually sit there and make up these comments. It was funny, I watch it, I think it's cool, but I know that, like, actually they're helping me out, because people come to my sites or to my videos just so they can see the dumb-ish that people are saying about me. That's true. I'm like, okay, it's all good, it helps me out. But at the same time, I think it's easy. Like, sometimes I'm watching something, I find myself like, man, I need to say some stupid-ish. But I fight it. These people, they don't fight it. They don't fight the matter to say that. And everybody entitled to their opinion. I know that it's easier for somebody to say something slick than it is for them to give you a compliment. That's just how I feel about it. And especially when I'm getting all this stuff on the streets, whatever you're saying on the internet, just don't apply. Because you could be the same dumb person doing it over and over again. The one that when I catch you, I'm going to cut you by your hair, but whatever.
I think that's crazy, too, when you see other artists hating on other artists. I mean, I don't really get that either, so that's crazy.
Yeah. I think a lot of times it do be other artists. That's how I feel. And I know a lot of artists, I'll be like, I know this is this bitch. Or I know this is this dude. I know, like, certain times I got a relationship with, like, a lot of these people. Because I did a lot. I mean, I toured with the Black Hymns. I'm into the prisons, we was in the jails, I was out there with everybody, like, everybody had his turn out there, it was great. And, like, just being around every venue, you meet people, I know everybody, and I know how certain people talk, I know everybody don't like me, so I know who doesn't like me, so I just try to take it with the good with the bad. The good, when I see the views is 500,000, and I see the comments is 91, and I see maybe 80 of those are bad, it don't add up to me, I feel good anyway, you know?
Nah, I feel you.
But when it comes to me in my face and seeing something, I'm much more sensitive. Like, I even had an altercation in the club because I'm that sensitive. Like I'm trying to get bigger than that because I don't want to end up like some of these other girls who are just like one more thing, letting them effed up. I don't want to get effed up like that. But I'm saying, like, I'm sensitive. So if people say something on the internet, I could take it, but I'd rather read that than for somebody to say something in my face because then it might go down.
I'm trying to sit on here and play like you are innocent, because I already know how it goes. She's like, you know, I'm so sensitive, and I'm so, you know, don't talk about.
I am sensitive. I mean, like, when you say, like, you know, somebody might, like, it don't take much for me to get mad. Like, I just,
I really believe
in what I'm doing, so I don't want nobody trying to play, like, I don't know, there's something with the way I was raised, I don't know, somewhere along the lines, I got to go crazy. So I ain't too keen with all that. I think I deserve my respect. I don't disrespect people only to an extent, or it depends how it goes. But I'm not initiator of no boo. That's just not me.
No,
and you think as your celebrity gets bigger, like, it's, you see more of it, like more people kind of, like, you know, saying stuff, you know, negative or positive?
Yeah, because they have it. Like, and now, like, I feel like there was a time, like, when, like, let me give you an example, Rod Stewart. He was a scandal. This guy's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now. He was a scandal. Everybody's talking about, oh, he was bisexual. He had gerbils in his butt. All kind of issues was talking about. He didn't have this. I'm telling you, this is the fact. You could go look it up. When he was around, there wasn't no internet. Well, not like how it is now. I don't know how old that nigga is. But there was no internet like how it is now. If there was, then it would have been a bigger deal. You feel me? Everybody would know. So only a handful of people knew, or only certain people knew, or people, some people, they and people had the chance to say, oh, well, I don't want to know. Now it's in your face everywhere. It's time Pop Off is going to be on All Hip Hop. Since I had a fight, it was on the radio, and I woke up in the morning, the whole city was listening to it, like, oh, you know, he was in the car last night. She had a fight. You know how many phone calls I got? Oh, my God. I'm like, yo,
right.
Nobody else. I was saying I did great things. Nobody ever called me in the morning talking about that. And then seems like bad happened. Everybody calling my phone. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. I don't know. The negative stuff gets more attention than the good stuff. But
yeah, that's
just
part of the game, and that's part of the game that anybody has to deal with.
Everybody deals with it. And I watch all these other girls deal with it. And some of them got it worse. So I'm like, whatever.
Right.
I'm blessed. I'm chilling.
Right. No, that's what's up. Well, let me ask you this, and I'm gonna let you close it out. If you had to give one piece of advice, we'll just talk internet advice because you know we have a lot of people listening online. About creating a buzz, because like I said, you've done something coming from being as young as you are to starting to really build that buzz where you're on these sites and people are starting to find you and search out for you. What would you give some advice?
I think that the best advice I give anybody is be consistent. Like, if you're supposed to call somebody and they say they're going to do something to you, and you call and they don't pick up, don't get shy and don't leave a message. You call them back. You know what I mean? You got to be consistent, and you also got to be, if you believe in yourself, don't fool yourself, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you believe in yourself, then, hey, tell them, sell yourself. That's all you got. You got to sell it. That's what I tell people. Sell it.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean?
Well, let me shout out your MySpace, your website, to make sure you get your promo out there.
Yo, thanks a lot, guys. My website is rememberme, ninab.com, or ninabmusic.com, and those will lead you right to my MySpace. So hit me up, be my friend, get it popping.
No, that's what's up. Oh, also, good luck with your marathon, getting your, you running
you.
The city thing.
Come NY for that.
I'm going to call you on that, too. Don't get it twisted. I will do a live show. We'll do the Nina B show from the marathon. Behind the scenes, all that. We're going to get in. And I'm going to call you. Like, I'm not playing. Like, I'm serious. Like,
come
serious.
Through. Come through. Because after I run this marathon, I am going to celebrate. Trust me, because I've been working hard for this.
Nah, that's what up, man. We're going to definitely be in touch. Like I said, man, congratulations on your success. We'll definitely keep
you
on mind.
I love it.
No problem. You have a good one, all right?
Peace.
I appreciate it. That was Nina B, NY's finest. We getting it in, man. We doing big things. I don't know if everyone understands, but we getting it in right now. Would you agree, Ms. Jackson?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, C Major.
Nina
B, she's definitely a star on the rise. I mean, I can't wait to hear more about her. So
She put me against the wall. I won't say put me against the wall, but she put me out there. Now I got to go to NY, and I'm going to attend the marathon. And I'm serious. I've never been, so I'm going to NY. I'm not doing the marathon. Excuse me. I'm a sprinter. We black folks.
I was trying to work on my fitness anyways with Kanye West, so.
Y'all can
keep
that. Y'all can have that. I work out enough every day. I'm good to go. But.
Okay.
We want to get into something a little different. We're gonna I'm gonna invite some of the members of the clique. My girl Chiki, I believe she's on the line, so I'm gonna let her in. Our clique discussion for today is female MCs. We kind of want to just talk about some of the things that Nina B was talking about, just the role of female MCs and the empowerment of female MCs and all that. So, Cece.
Yeah, what's going on, C?
What's poppin'?
I'm Jackson.
Hey,
C, how you doing?
Up? I'm good.
I'm all right. That's good. I heard y'all doing y'all thing up there. That's what's up.
We're working on it. We're pretending like we're really hosts and shit. It's kind of hot.
Oh, nah. Y'all got it.
I wanted to get in discussion with you guys because I kind of had this discussion before, but I received a lot of, not complaints, but a lot of people saying I didn't have any women, so I was giving it from a male perspective. Before we get into it, I'm going to preface it by saying this, because you know I'm really into politics. I will not be calling anybody any pigs. No lipstick comments, no none of that, because you ain't going to have me on somebody's blog talking about he's a sexist and all that.
Thank you.
We're just going to get it in. We're going to talk about the issues, okay? First of all, with that being said, I want to know y'all opinion, and CeCe, I'm going to start with you, about images of women in hip-hop. What do you feel? How do you feel they're being portrayed right now?
We're being portrayed? How are ladies
women,
being portrayed?
Women in hip-hop, yeah.
Everything about it is negative, in my opinion. You got to have a big butt, big breast, weave to your butt, and that's about it. If you can shake a little something, you can make a little money. And that's it. That's what I look at it as. I mean, if you're talking about hip-hop, I mean, we have ladies in R&B that, you know, represent well, but on the hip-hop front, we don't really have nobody, I think, anybody, like, really pushing us, like, in a positive
manner. Yeah, that's so true. She's right.
Not at all.
Ms.
So that's it.
Yeah, I mean, the women in hip-hop, basically, when is the sexism going to stop? I mean, basically, I think there's only a few rappers, like, femcees that we had that weren't basically all maybe, like, objectifying themselves and making themselves all sexual, like Lady Rage, and then, was there,
Queen Latifah, you know what I mean? Like,
that's
early,
yes,
90s, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but basically, you know, like, now the people that are more popular, like Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown, I mean, they're all basically over-sexualized, and basically, I mean, when will that stop, I think, like, the sexism of hip-hop, really?
Well, let me ask you guys this, and Kopi, I'm going to start with you on this one. Where did female MCs go wrong? Because there was a time where they were kind of building a little momentum, like becoming, you know, almost equal, and then all of a sudden it just, like, they're almost non-existent at this point.
Well, I think at first, like, I think people, like, the audience wasn't taking the hard femcees that serious, really. I think they really didn't start getting that much attention, and they didn't become as marketable until they started, you know, looking more like the video chicks and things like that.
Right. Right.
So I think that they didn't really have, you know, the respect. And even though, like, there's people like MC Lyte, who I think represents, I think, the female rapper the best. It's like, well, one of the top, because she's never, ever objectified herself at all. But, you know, I think that they just weren't getting enough attention. So a lot of them, they had to kind of go that route.
See, I don't know, me personally, as a guy, from a guy's perspective, because I remember listening to Eve, and I was like, she's dope. Like, she had the What I Want, and she had the Love Is Blind joint, which was, like, but she don't hear songs like that no more.
Nah, like, of course not. I mean, bottom line is the men rule the hip-hop industry. That's just what it is.
Very true.
So if you look at what's being portrayed in, I mean, they set the tone. If you look at what's being portrayed in male videos, right, as what is attractive, what every other male, especially black males, want to see, you know what I'm saying? They're objectifying women in their videos. So this is saying, okay, this is what everybody wants to see. Why is it now that on the rapper side we want to see some women talking about, you know, power to the people and women are the best and all that type of stuff? They don't want to hear that. If this is what the norm is supposed to be, this is what we want to see, this is what the male rappers are telling us, then why, you know, of course, that's what the women are going to have to do. You, like I always say, C-Major, you know, I said it the last time I was on here, this is all a business. You know what I mean?
Right.
So no matter what it is, you have to make up your mind and say, look, I want to make money in this industry. This is something that I love to do, but by the same token, I want to get paid. So you have to decide as a female rapper, or one of them would have to decide if they want to be, you know, in something less than covered, you know what I mean, to really get the sales and talk about craziness. You know what I mean? Like, you got to talk about that. Nobody want to hear that nonsense. I mean, that's just the majority of people. They don't want to hear it.
Well, I'm going to say it like this, too. And I think that Nina B and Amber, from the CEO of her label, are doing something good. One, she's a woman CEO, so you have to have the power. It does it take a little longer because you're independent? Of course, anyone knows that. But that's like anything. If you're putting out a book, you can self-publish or go to a publisher. But self-publishing, first of all, gives you more money. And it gives you more, you know, you can say where your product goes.
Right.
And I think that's what's missing a lot. There's no control. Even though, don't get me wrong, Sylvia Rhone, there are a lot of high-powered women execs, but they're not pushing it. They're pushing what sells.
Exactly.
But it's kind of like, okay, you know me, political, whatever. It's kind of like the Barack Obama thing. You couldn't tell me we would have even a nominee for black president, because I would have said we weren't ready.
Right.
if you asked me that 4 years ago, 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So eventually it's going to take someone to support. But also I'm gonna say this, and I want you guys to comment on this. Women don't support the dope women rappers either, though.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, Cece, I'm going to let you comment on first, and then, Kopi, I'm going to go to you. But about as far as women actually supporting those female rappers that have the positive messages and have these things that they say they want, but they don't support them.
Now,
what do you think about that?
Okay, again, if you take a look at society, and again, I hate to be so, like, always talking about the black community, but, I mean, that's ultimately
what
this
is. It is what it is.
But, you know, if you look at our women, if you look at our young girls, our teenage girls, all that type of stuff, they don't want to hear that. That's the thing. You know what I mean? I've talked about that before. It's about something frivolous and nonsense. What these girls, society is just so over-sexed and so over, you know what I mean, just materialistic and all that type of stuff. That's what we want to hear about. It's easier to spend time talking about sex and drugs and money and whatever else and, you know what I mean? Than it is to talk about a serious issue, because that makes you have to reevaluate yourself. We don't,
right.
Overall, they don't want to hear that. So we're not going to support that. You know what I mean? I could do any rhyme from Lil' Kim right now, but, you know, ask me something that MC Light said just off top. You know what I mean? Like, I could think about
right.
it for a minute. Oh, yeah, I know that. But, you know what I mean? It's just, it's easier. It's a hook. It's catchy. That's why we support it, because it's just something to shake our ass to, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the bottom line. So it's, we're not going to support it. And it's crazy. Once society has to make a total flip in order for women to support it. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't support
right.
positive things, you know, so it's
right.
not going to change.
Right.
Yeah, and like you were saying that, you know, with the society being oversexed, I mean, that kind of goes in with urban culture. We're kind of like
Definitely.
Brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all of us know growing up that, you know, we didn't see a lot of, you know, female rappers at first that were really, you know, didn't have really a strong presence aside from, you know, Queen Latifah
mm-hmm.
that were more like hardcore. So, you know, we saw, you know, people like LL Cool J, Big Daddy Kane. So we were
right.
used to kind of seeing that image of a male presence and
right.
them being the trendsetters and like being the power force in hip hop. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of like when you're used to something when you're growing up, when you get older, I mean, you're not going to really be that welcoming to it because you're used to seeing something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm.
kind of like, you know, urban culture is stubborn in a way where I don't think they're really giving women in hip-hop a chance because, you know, people have always thought of it, oh, well, that's going to be corny. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh,
mm-hmm.
about 2 or 3 years, we'll be done. So I think, like, if we really give people a chance, like, for example, Nina B, who I think really deserves to be given a chance, I mean, she could set a trend and, you know, basically set a whole movement.
Right. I want to do this.
It's difficult.
Go ahead. No, you can go,
Cece. I'm sorry. It's difficult for male rappers to be quote-unquote conscious or actually talk about something with substance. So,
right.
I mean, really.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's sad to say, but can we really expect our women to just come out and, you know what I mean? Like, we don't support those rappers. So the women that are at the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak, you know what I mean? Why do we expect them to come out and everybody's going to support that? Hell no, it's not happening.
Right. This is what I want to do. I'm going to ask you guys a question, and then I'm actually play. Before you answer it, and Kobe, when we come back, I'm going to go to you first and then you, Cece. We're going to play this Nina B joint. So think about this question, and I'm playing Nina B joint. What needs to change in order for the female MC to become relevant again? So what needs to change in order for the female MC to become relevant again? Think about that. We're going to play this Nina B joint. We'll be right back.
So they want to square off, work with a flat, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you going to get tough, home searching the net? You don't really want to work with a sweat.
In this corner in the green trunks, they call it legal slump, because she legal slump, and you can't even front. In this corner is the dawn of a new breed, embroidered on a road while the words I'ma do me. Height 5'7", kick 5'7", right-left combo, that's so 9-11, 135, pound for pound, never been knocked down, stood through every round. 22 wins by way of knockout, opponent now looking for a way to cap out. First in my class, heavyweight champ, strength, conditioning, and I straight dance. The name mean to be, call me the bosses. Captain Cold Feet, you can totally forfeit. Come on, bitch, your girl fist leaves you exhausted. Before you even know what you lost, bitch, you lost.
So they wanna square off,
work of a flat, jab, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting your neck? How you gonna get tough, home first in the net? You don't really wanna work of a sweat. I'm learning so they wanna square off. Work of a flat, jab, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting your neck? How you gonna get tough, home first in the net? You don't really wanna work of a sweat. I'm learning from the
couple knocked down, but I'm not down. Corner men floating styles, rest stop rounds, aim high. Can't stand the face that'll leave you out on your feet. Standing eight or TKO'd. I ease they low, leave them curled on the floor like they 3 days old. I dominate the ring, devastating blows. Dominate the game, devastating flows. Heavyweights levitate, I make the levees break. Let me demonstrate, let it escalate. I'm from the old school, you know, rope a dope, peekaboo, boo, the old okey doke. Sizzle like grease, sizzle like soda hot, drizzle like honey, but I pop like a loaded Glock. I double hip hop in your face. Left hand beat, right hand bass.
So they wanna square off, work with a flat, jab, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home first in the net? You don't really wanna work with a sweat. I'm good. So they wanna square off, work with a flat, jab, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home first in the net? You don't really wanna work with a sweat. I'm good. From the sweat.
I'm the real McCoy. Boy, you's a fake. It's not a fair fight, cause you're a cruiserweight. You're running out of stunts. I pack a power punch. And if the man clean, you won't leave without a lump. Sparring in a square ring, swinging cause my ears ring. Talking the sound, I'm off from around to bring it. Yeah, I've been jumping rope, working calisthenics. You're so pathetic, I see your face in the focus, man. Whoever's commentating can commentate on my combinations. You against me, there's not a common denomination. Balance, speed, agility. You can't get rid of me. When you search for competitors, don't consider me. Mouthpiece sin, I don't bite my tongue. No kids still beat you like my son. Let's see how you feel when you're not so conscious. Third man in the ring yelling, no conscience.
So they wanna square off, work with a flat, jab, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home first in the net? You don't really wanna work with a sweat. I'm good. So they wanna square off, work with a flat, jab, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home first in the net? You don't really wanna work with a sweat. I'm good. From the sweat.
That's Nina B. The joint is called Boxing. It's a pretty odd joint. She's
a lot of wordplay. I like that.
She's pretty talented. Gotta give props what props is due. Definitely make sure y'all check out. That's Nina B. Boxing. That was the name of that joint. But the question I asked before we went into the joint was, what needs to change? Because we always talk about the problem. I've noticed that in a lot of these shows I watch on TV, they always talk about the problem, but they never get to the solution. Which I'm not saying we're going to get to a solution, but I at least want to discuss it. What needs to change in order for the female MC to become relevant again? And, Kopi, I'm going to go to you first in UCC.
Well, sex sells in the entertainment industry, and I think once we get past that only sex can sell for women, then I think that's when you're really going to see some change. The freak, the gold digger, the diva, the dyke, the sister savior, I mean, all those different types of stereotypes of women in the industry and hip-hop in general, I mean, those are all sexual terms. Right. And so once we get past that, I mean, and start really associating, like, women's bodies with, I mean, different parts and metaphors and music, I mean, I think, you know, once we look past that and go something deeper, which is kind of hard right now, too, because, I mean, society right now, the urban culture, I mean, it really is really superficial. So, I mean, it, of course, it's going to take some time, but once we get past the sex sales ideology, I mean, I think that's when you're really going to see some change.
What you got, Ms.
I totally agree with that. That's 100%. I also think we have within black women, we have such self-esteem issues, such self-image issues. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how, which is almost impossible to tackle something that is rooted in us for years and years and years and years. You know what I mean? But if that was something that we could attack, you know what I mean, then I could see it, you know, like somebody finally chipping away at that. But, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do because these are all conditions that we've been, you know, born into, brought up on, everything. It's just what you believe at this point. You know what I mean? So that's a very difficult, I guess, solution. You can't, you know, I don't want to say you can't solve it, but you know what I mean? It has to be a total, like, total turnaround for everybody. Mm-hmm. It can't just be women. It can't just be men. It has to be oh, everybody has to embody that, you know?
Definitely. I agree with both of you guys 100%. The only thing that I would probably say is a lot of it has to do with the consumption of music.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you don't believe in, you can't support. And that's just
true.
Real.
That's true. That's very true.
I think a lot of it, don't get me wrong, some songs are meant to have fun. Some women are hoes. I'm just being real with y'all. Like, I'm not trying to get all crazy, people listen, I get the crazy emails, so y'all don't get the crazy emails. I get the crazy
That's
emails.
That's not right.
But some women are hoes. So I don't, and the thing, I'm talking from experience, and not my personal experience, because that's another show, but from experience of being backstage and seeing
mm-hmm.
these women go at these artists,
right.
Like, seeing women try to drag the stagehand or the bodyguard in the bathroom and service him, some Lewinsky him, you know, we're talking about the...
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Some Lewinsky him.
Because they think that's going to get them noticed.
Just to get to the artist. Not even because they like them, but to get to the artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're in that world as an artist, because I think what happens is a lot of artists end up in this bubble
mm-hmm.
where they stop seeing the real world
mm-hmm.
because all they see all the time is everybody serving them, everybody doing this, everybody doing that, and they see these women who are hoes. They don't see the educated woman because she ain't doing that. She's in the crowd shaking her head, doing her thing, but, you know, she's not backstage trying to get at these dudes, but that's what they see. So I'm not knocking all artists, but some artists just do it just cuss, and that's real too. And the thing is, how do you determine who's doing it just cuss and who's doing it because, you know, it sells records? And
yeah.
I think that's where it comes, because women are the greatest consumers of music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same way with the election. Women are going to determine it,
mm-hmm.
and it depends on what you want. You have to go with what you want. Don't pick, you know, everybody know I'm from Obama, so I'm just keep it real. Don't pick Sarah Palin because she's a woman. Pick her because she's the right woman, if you feel that way. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with music. Don't pick the music just because it's hot on the radio. Pick it because it's hot music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's what it takes, because once you change that, you change the market and all those top execs. They don't care about what we say to our people. They
yeah.
care about the bottom line. And once that bottom line starts falling, I bet you, y'all can see now that the music is changing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, it's slow, and it's just like anything. It goes in a circle. And I think we're at that point now where we're going in that little circle, and hip-hop is starting to come back to the community aspect, and that's one thing we want to push. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not just the hood stuff. It's the boardroom stuff, too. You got to know that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to really make money. Like, a lot of these niggas pretend like you know how to make money. Like, for real, I'm keeping it real. They pretend. They pretend really well, too. They do a very good job of pretending. But half of these rappers is broke. You know what I'm saying? So they fronting right now.
Do y'all think that people really, like, know what they're listening to in terms of, like, what's being said? Are they really focusing on that?
No.
I think people listen to the beat, really.
Right.
That's what
exactly.
it is now. It's like, if you got a good beat, because a lot of times that's what people are not listening to as far as what has depth.
Exactly.
They're listening as far as what sounds good with the ear, because, I mean, if you listen to a lot of those Southern songs, like 3-6
mm-hmm.
Mafia, even Lil Jon, really, I mean, they're saying the same chorus over and over again. But
and that's the key,
really
yo. That's
beat.
The key to a song right there. If you could get
yeah.
a catchy, like, hook,
yeah.
that's
it.
If I can remember it and it's stuck in my head, like, yo, I swear on everything I love, I don't mean to slam nobody, but I don't like the Jennifer Hudson song. I do not like that song. But on everything
right.
I love, I'm singing it now because they play it 900 times and all I hear is,
right.
You hear it all day. So it's like, okay, now I know the... Woohoo! I know it now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
No, that's all you got to do. If you get a high hook and, you know what I mean, a high beat, that's it. It doesn't really matter. I think a lot of people, especially our young people, are not listening to what's being said. If they really like analyze, which they're not going to take the time to do, You know what
but
I mean?
You want me to tell you
it may make a difference.
I'm going to tell you something that scares me about that. Like when you don't focus on the music and you're just hearing it, it's actually more, it hurts you more than if you were actually paying attention to it.
Definitely.
And I think that's what's messing it up, because they are just listening to the beat, but you actually obtain what's going in, even though you don't know it. It's just something
right.
your body naturally does.
Like,
and I think that's what...
filtering it,
right.
you know what I mean?
Your subconscious is basically just like, oh, okay, I hear that, okay,
mm-hmm.
whole bitches, ass, titties, all that. That's
right.
what it is. It is just,
yeah.
it's being fed to you. So I think we have to be careful. I think good music is good music, and good music is timeless. A song that's hot this year and won't be hot next year is not timeless music.
Right.
I think that's
right.
where it starts. We need to start making more timeless music.
Yeah, get back to the quality. Because, I mean, not saying those songs that are just about club music and just hyping up people, not saying that it's bad songs, but it's not quality. And
right.
so I think that's what I think we're missing in hip-hop is, look, where is that quality music?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's up. Well, anyways, let me get into, before we exit out, do you have anything that's whack for this week, Ms. Tokyo Jazz?
Well, what'd you say?
I said Ms. Tokyo Jazz, I'm sorry.
No, you said what's, do you have anything that's relaxing?
That's whack. That's whack. I ain't saying I'm all relaxing. She's trying to play me. You
that'd
see
be
that?
Nice, though, to have something relaxing, though, right?
You're like, I got something relaxing. I don't know.
I'm like, yeah, you got, listen, see, now you're trying to, see, there you go. See how she's trying to spin me now? I'm a sexist and everything. I'm
no,
talking about my
relaxing.
Car, so
what
she got on and everything.
I'm just joking with you.
Oh, here we go.
Okay,
you
now,
have anything that's whack for
okay,
this week?
Okay, that's whack, yes. Now, I mean, I'm pretty sure y'all were watching the VMAs, right?
Unfortunately.
Well, first of all, Chris Brown and T.I., I mean, to think of those two names together, that's really odd, right? And then when you hear that they're fighting, possibly, Chris Brown and T.I. fight.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no, that's not a good look.
Yeah, I mean, we all know T.I. is known to have a hot head, but with young boy, R&B singer Chris Brown, I mean, come on now.
I hope that's not true.
So at the VMA's rehearsal for T.I. and Rihanna's performance, I mean, by the way, the performance was really hot.
Right.
Chris Brown, who's always by Rihanna's side, I mean, we always see him together, started acting up and playing games and getting in the way by trying to dance with Rihanna. Well, of course, it's going to make T.I. mad because, you know, he's all about his business. He wants to get his work done. So he told someone to basically get this little nigga off the stage. He was talking about Chris Brown. Well, people said that this supposedly bruised Chris's ego. So Chris said something under his breath that, you know, T.I. didn't like. So then T.I., you know, he's short, but, you know, he has to prove that he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
So he threatened the people around him, you know, and warned that, you know, people that they better get Chris Brown or he's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
So basically it started to get real heated. So Chris had to be escorted out by security.
What?
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
got
did I take it too far?
The R&B shows?
Yeah, I mean, childish games lead to throwing fists. I mean, I don't get it.
Please.
But I mean, I just wonder, is that
whack
or
whack.
Which person is whack?
That's whack. I think the whole situation is whack because you got to grow up sometime. Eventually, one day, just please, for me, because that's ridiculous. These two make millions of dollars. They don't need to be worrying about none of that. But I understand sometimes, you know, heat of the moment. So hopefully it blows over. Hopefully it's nothing. But for that particular time, that was definitely crazy. But, anyways, we're going to make our way out of here, actually. Miss Cece.
What's up?
It's been a pleasure. Well, you know it ain't over for you. This is the beginning, the start of a new beginning and all those other cliche things.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of hot.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate your time.
We look forward to...
That was
to...
nice, right?
Yeah, that was hot. That was very nice.
I'm working on being nicer, so, you know.
Yeah, because I ain't going to tell
nice.
Them what you be saying to me off the air. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm gonna keep personal business at home because you do be saying some crazy things on the phone.
It's a new day.
But that's I appreciate
right.
that. Ms. Copia Jackson, once again, man. It's definitely been a pleasure.
All right.
But we're going to make it out of here. You ready to go?
All right, y'all. This is We Got Now.
Because we don't care who got next. Holla at your boy.
Okay, see ya.